Verbal fitness session time. Once again, Ronald Evergy on the line. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Ronald.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How are you, brother? Are you well?
Hey, alhamdulillah, I'm doing well. Your side?
Always good, thank you. Always good. Excited to chat to our listeners and, of course, you know, to be on air with you.
Jazakallah khair. Always a pleasure having you on, Ronald. So, you're going to put us through our paces now with the workout. We're all set. Let's get ready to rumble.
Yeah, definitely. Today's workout is very much focused on a question that was asked last week and also that we referred to yesterday. Mm-hmm. We said we're going to show you and describe some leg exercises for you to do without putting pressure on the knees through a squat.
Okay.
So, you know, we'll kill two birds with one stone in the workout, and we can, of course, talk more about the technicalities of it later on in the show if we do have time.
All right.
So, we're going to start off first and foremost, and all that I want us to do very nice and easy is just on the spot. Now, when you find that if you have knee issues and knee aches, walking might be a bit of a stretch for you, but jogging even worse. So, all that I want you to do on the spot is stand wherever you are, all right? And all that I want you to do is begin to make big circles with the arms. So the arms are extended out and you're creating big circles going forward. So we're warming the body up. Now big circles going back. You can do five each way. And then you go backwards with five. Right? The next one I want you to do is keep the arms out, left arm in front of you, right arm behind you, and then just basically alternate backwards and forwards by swinging those arms around. So left arm forward, then left arm back, right arm forward. Straight, so you begin to mobilize the hip and the back. Alright, so far so good, warming the body up. And then finally I want you to do hip twirls and hip twists. So with that you're going to be keeping your hip feet wider than shoulder width apart. And you're going to be circling the hip to clockwise in a big range of motion forward, side and back three times. And change it around three times, alternating it from the other position. That's it, keep it going. Loosen up those hamstrings, hips, and get the blood to flow. Now, next up, we're going to focus on the legs. So I want you to start off by holding onto a surface in front of you, standing feet shoulder width apart. And all I want you to do is raise your leg up to the side. So your right leg will stay in line with your hip. Keep your knees straight and just raise it up to your right side. Hold it there and then pulsate the leg up and down, which means it moves up and down in a very small range of motion. Hold it there and keep going for 30 seconds. You're going to find the hip is going to burn. Your buttock is going to burn because you're recruiting the buttock muscle and the side area of the leg is going to burn as well. Keep it going. Small motions, pulsating up and down. Change side. Left leg goes up as high as you can. Keep your back straight and pulsate that leg up and down. Now you'll notice we're not putting pressure on the knee, so you shouldn't feel any knee aches or pains. Are you feeling good, Brother Jazz? So far, so good?
So far, so good.
Good. Now relax it on down. The next one I want you to do is take a step back from the wall. Keep your knees straight and shoulder width apart and lean down as far as you can to try to touch your toes. Keep your knees straight and let your fingers try to touch your toes. Now from that position, I want you to move your hands forward and move them back between your legs. So you feel an extra pull on your hamstring or the back of the legs.
Mm-hmm.
So you hold it down to the point of maximal tension. Move the hands forward, move the hands backwards between the legs, move the hands forward, but you're keeping your back bent, pulling on those hamstrings consistently throughout this exercise. Keep it going. So it's a combination of flexibility, but also shaping and toning that area. A lot of the ladies will have a lot of cellulite in that area, and these help exercises help to target those areas as well. So you do that 10 times forward and 10 times back. And up you come. Now the next exercise is a very tricky one that I want people to try, okay? And I'm going to give you two alternatives. One is you could do it standing up, holding onto a surface or a wall for balance or a chair.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to lift your right knee up and bend it slightly. All right? And from that position, holding that knee slightly bent, your foot is dangling. There should be a 90 degree angle at your knee. The other foot is on the ground, giving you some balance and support with your hand holding onto a surface. I want you to slowly straighten your knee out in front of you. Hold it there and you should feel a pull on your thigh muscle.
Yes.
Now you bend the knee again.
Okay.
And slowly extend the knee. Now you're not causing any pressure on the knee joint. All right. So if you feel a bit of aches and pains and niggling, that's just because you're creating a range of motion, but you're not putting any weight-bearing stress on that knee. You do this 10 times on each leg and you hold it for a split second as you straighten your leg. And the alternative to this exercise, if you can't do it standing up, you're sitting in a chair. You keep your back upright in the chair. You lift your one hamstring off the chair, and then you extend the leg. You can do the sitting or standing. You then repeat the entire sequence 3 more times, and that gives you a brilliant leg workout without putting weight-bearing stress on the knee. So even if you have knee aches and pains, you can still exercise the leg muscles, still shape and tone those areas, and still be healthy.
Yes, indeed. Jazakallah khair for that, Ronald. Remember, you're listening to the Power Half Hour. You can send your questions through to Ronald. He'll try and answer them if possible. We're focusing on legs today, I think, in some ways. And I see a question here. My legs are thick, thin, like Olive from Popeye. How do I improve this without, going to an actual gym?
You know, it's a... You know, that's a wonderful question. Thank you very much for that. You know, when you look at building up the legs or any muscle in the body, it's about strength training. So strength training is about offering those areas or those muscles resistance, and you've got to work the big muscle first. So you've got to work the front of the thigh, you've got to work the hamstring slightly, and of course the buttocks. And you do this with strength training. So you incorporate slow, focused strength training exercises. So if you do things like squats, you do it in a slow, controlled manner in your home, and you bring in variation from the traditional squat to the sumo squat to the alternating lunge to the plyometric bouncing lunge and the jumping lunges and so forth. So by doing this, you constantly begin to stress the muscles, work the muscles, and then over time the muscles begin to, you create something called microfibric tears in the muscle. Mm. And then the muscle begins to regenerate and recover in rest period, and that gives you size and a little bit more tone, look and feel in that area. So you can do it at home without going to a gym. Just keep making sure that you're offering yourself resistance. And when it becomes easy for you, change up your exercises, bring in different variations of the exercise to keep on challenging the muscles to grow so that you no longer have Popeye olive legs.
I see another one coming on WhatsApp. Says, Jazakallah khair. Enjoyed the exercises. No knee pain today. Alhamdulillah.
Oh, that is, alhamdulillah. You see, that puts a smile on your face and my face, Brother Jaz, because yes, we're helping our listeners. And if they have any concerns, queries, problems, or issues, please let us know when it comes to your body and your health, because this is what we're here to do. We're here to help. And we will always come back to the questions that are asked, because time is very short. So thank you very much that you've done the exercises, and I'm glad there's no longer knee pain.
Perfect. Jazakallah khair. And yes, keep sending those questions through. SMS 488-55, WhatsApp 072-786-1548, or Twitter at EJAZ_K. Now, yesterday, Ronald, there was a sister who we were struggling with the spelling, and we thought maybe it was a spelling error or typo regards to that thalassemic situation that she has. Are you able to help her in any way since yesterday?
Hello, Brother Jazz. I'm back.
Are you back? Okay. Just saying that yesterday we received a query from a sister who said that she has a thalassemic situation. Is there anything that you're able to help her with?
You know, when you look at the thalassemia, you're looking at elevated hemoglobin levels, you know, and what it means is that hemoglobin's main function is to carry oxygen from the lungs to the body tissues. You know, athletes want more hemoglobin in their body, you know, uses a lot of iron. And what happens is that they want that because it allows muscles to function more optimally, especially on an elite athlete level, so they can push their bodies further. This is what Maria Sharapova, when she was bust with those illegal drugs that she was taking recently, got caught out with. So when you're looking at this sister, you know, you need to really, really, really identify the cause of what has created this with you. Either genetic predisposition to it, because thalassemia essentially is a genetic disease. So it's in your genes. And, you know, it controls the production of either the alpha or the beta proteins that makes up the structure of hemoglobin. Now, what that means for you is that the genes come from both parents, and what you need to really do is you have minor red blood cells, so you might fatigue a lot easier. You know, it's not anemia, please remember that, but you could develop severe anemia, not the minor ones, in the first stages of your life. You know, you get facial abnormalities, growth failures, fatigue, and shortness of breath. And the treatment of thalassemia major is a frequent blood transfusion. And for some individuals, bone marrow transplant. Now, what that means is that you need to create small bouts of activity because you could fatigue a lot sooner than most because of the inherent genetic disorder that you're facing with. So light strength, light cardio, but in shorter bouts. So you'll rather go for frequent exercise sessions that are shorter in duration, not as intense as what we would normally do, but really begin to manage it on that basis. And the second thing is, have a look at your diet. Are you having, supplementation in your diet from a fruit and veggie perspective that combats the excessive iron or lack of iron you might have. And this is where blood tests come in. So my advice to that listener, because it's such a serious condition that not many people know of, I would seriously ask her to please, if she doesn't mind, emailing me so I could really assist in understanding what the blood results are, and we could help her from an eating perspective and an exercise perspective, and assist to track it to see how her body reacts to it, because we need to be very strict and clinical as to how we deal with these types of conditions. But exercise and nutrition can play a role in assisting you and really help you, you know, feel more energized and fight the fatigue and other effects that you may be experiencing with the elevated hemoglobin levels.
Wonderful stuff, Ronald. Jazakallah khair for that. We've run out of time for this edition of the Verbal Fitness Sessions. We'll continue, inshallah, tomorrow afternoon. You have yourself a wonderful day, sir.
And to you, to my brother, all the best. And to the listeners, keep fit and keep healthy.
Ameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Yes, indeed, that was Ronald Evergy on the Verbal Fitness Sessions, talking to us there on all things legs. And yes, I'm so glad the sister that was complaining about the knees aching during workouts today, she was able to do so without any pain. And that is what we are here to do, to serve you, to help you, inshallah, to get into a fitter frame of mind and body. So coming up in a few seconds time, we'll be joined by life coach Sumaya Kuvadia. We're talking about the differences between men and women. Besides the obvious, what are the differences between men and women? You can give us your input as well. You can SMS 48855. You can WhatsApp 0727861548 or Twitter at EJAZ_K. Stay tuned to the Power Half Hour. Yes, indeed, the second part of the Power Half Hour. And we're joined on the line now by life coach Sumaya Kuvadia. She joins us live. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi jaz.
How are you doing today?
Alhamdulillah, I'm very well. How are you doing?
Alhamdulillah. But of the flu, but doing not too bad. Inshallah, okay. We'll be able to continue.
Inshallah.
Ameen. Now, Sumaya, why is it so important for us to understand the differences between men and women?
Well, it does, you know, it's the lack of understanding that often gets us into sticky places in our relationships. And when something is understood, you know, obviously it becomes easier to create flow in life. You know, in our life, in our relationships, just about everything. So understanding the differences between men and women will give, you know, all of your listeners, hopefully, insight into how they have been dealing with their spouses. And hopefully many light bulb moments will be experienced. You know, almost like, now I understand why he reacts this way or why she behaves in that manner. Mm. So understanding these differences, you know, it goes way beyond what we perceive as the differences between men and women. And understanding these differences is going to go a long way in maintaining, you know, those healthy, loving, nurturing relationships between husband and wife, inshallah.
Inshallah. Now, besides the obvious, right, what are the two differences between men and women that often becomes major conflicts or major points of conflict?
Yes, this is very important. You know, there's a wonderful sort of psychologist that says, you know, he's Dr. Gray, and he labels them beautifully, and he calls men Mr. Fix-It and women are the Home Improvement Committee. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in a bit, I will tell you why these two bump heads quite often.
Okay.
Let's first look at, you know, that whole concept of falling in love. You know, it's such a magical experience. And, you know, generally people tend to, you know, to feel like this feeling can just last forever. But then, unfortunately, you know, this magic phase and daily life takes over. And then what happens, Ijaz? You know, it's like men expect women to think and react like men.
Mm-hmm.
And women do the same thing because they expect their men to feel and behave like the way they do. You know, and that's where these sort of, you know, differences come up. And it's because we don't understand them, we cannot appreciate and respect them. And besides all of that, you know, what else happens is when we don't understand these differences, then we start becoming very demanding in our relationships. We become judgmental, intolerant, and resentful. And love continues to die. And then what happens is more often, you know, problems creep in, and then communication breaks down, and all of a sudden we just feel rejected because suddenly the magic of love is completely dead or, you know, is on the way to dying. So basically that's what happens, you know, when we become... You know, men become like the Mr. Fix-It. I'm not saying that men cannot give you know, solutions to problems, and women cannot be those nurturers. Obviously, there's a time and place for either one to basically come up and do what they do best.
And you were saying about men being Mr. Fix-It. I saw a saying somewhere across the internet somewhere, they say a man will eventually fix that what you're nagging him to do so. There's no need for nagging he will do it within the next 6 months or so.
No, absolutely. And you know that whole saying about, you know, with a man, if something ain't broken, don't fix it.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's also, you know, somewhere along the line that is very true as well.
Right. Now, Sumaya, I've asked the question on social media for listeners to interact with us, like what's the main differences between men and women. I see Hasina Majid saying women can multitask, they can bear a lot more burden and pressure and still be functional. Men are physically strong and emotionally weak. Oh, and women don't feel bad asking for directions.
Okay, that last part is very interesting because, you know, we're going to get into why is it that men don't ask for directions and how can women actually accept that part. So, inshallah, you know, in a few minutes, we're going to get into that.
Okay.
And, yeah, you know, these perceived notions we have of, you know, those very surface differences, between men and women, it's important. But more important is the differences that we don't even realize that bring in all of these, you know, poking holes into our relationship. So that's what we're getting into today.
And also, listeners, you can interact with us by phoning as well. 011-854-1548. 011-854-1548. If you've got any input regards to what you feel the main differences between men and women. Now, Sumaya, how can a man understand better what a woman means when she says he never listens?
Yes. That's, you know, that's a very, very important one, Ijaz. So let's just explore Mr. Fix-It a little.
Right.
Okay, firstly, I think women need to understand why a man offers solutions instead of just listening. You know, that's the reason she's always complaining. He never listens.
Mm.
So understanding that a man tries to handle his problems alone and only talks about it when he needs expert advice. You know, Ijaz, you're a man, and I'm sure you understand, and you know that, you know what, women like to talk about their problems, and men only do that when they want advice from someone else. So automatically, when a woman talks about her problems, he basically sees it as an invitation to give her advice. That's basically why a man, you know, gives advice, and a woman feels that he doesn't listen. And often this can be very confusing for a man. Because he's solution-orientated and he feels, you know, I've heard all she said. I'm even coming up with ways to help her, and yet she's miserable. So without him understanding that when a woman shares her feelings, you know, she's sharing her upsets, she's sharing the difficult day that she had, probably with the kids and the domestic and everything else that has just piled up on her. At the end of the day, she just needs for a man to simply listen. That's all she needs. And what happens here is that the man doesn't realize that she needs empathy and not solutions. So automatically, just think of the scenario, Ijaz. You know, when she starts to talk, he probably runs to get his Mr. Fix-It hat. Mm-hmm. He puts it on, then he listens for a short while, you know, assesses what's the problem, and then he offers her solutions because this is his way of showing her how much he loves her and how much he cares for her. But to her, this is almost like an insult because her feelings are being invalidated, and he's trying to change what she feels. But then again, remember, a man and a woman think differently, and they don't know that these are the differences between us, right? So without realizing that when a woman talks, more often than not, she doesn't need a man to give her solutions. All she needs is for you just to listen to her. That's all you need to do. Men just need to listen more, and that way a woman's feelings won't feel invalidated. But what happens is when he offers her solutions and she rejects them, she's feeling so miserable because she's feeling invalidated. And he's feeling useless because his solutions is being rejected by her. So again, what happens is this is how love starts dying in a relationship because both partners don't realize we have different ways and different styles of dealing with things. A man only talks when he needs advice. But a woman generally talks not because she wants a solution. She's just trying to process her day. So we just, the next time, you know, when your wife wants to talk, just take a deep breath in, settle in and relax and just listen to her. That's all. She doesn't need a solution all the time.
I'm sorry, I missed it last, but I wasn't listening. I'm just kidding.
Okay.
I see we've got a message from a listener saying here, time out cave, something for men. Yeah, I don't want to talk about it, won't seek help for directions to offer unsolicited advice is to aggravate the problem. Like to think of themselves as experts, especially on mechanical things.
Okay. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Gee.
Why do men feel that women are often trying to change them?
Because, well, Ijaz, she basically is trying to change him, right? The thing is, what a man needs to understand is that when a woman loves a man, she's concerned about living in harmony, right? And women are very intuitive. They pride themselves on being considerate of other people's feelings. And, you know, a great sign of love for a woman is when she can offer others help without being asked. So again, you know, when you just read out the text about your caller that said unsolicited advice, that falls into that category of why women give unsolicited advice and why men cannot absolutely handle that. Because without realizing, and with the most loving of intentions, when a woman loves a man, like I said, she feels responsible to help him grow, and she tries to help improve the way he does things. That's just the way a woman, you know, a woman is wired. And then she comes up with this whole, you know, concept where she forms this home improvement committee. And he becomes her primary focus. And no matter how much he resists, she persists. That's basically what happens. You know, because she thinks she's nurturing him and taking care of him. And he totally feels controlled by all of this. Again, this is a dynamic for marriages running out of juice. Right? So women need to understand that a man values power, competency, efficiency, and achievement. And if we have to go into the whole driving scenario, Ijaz, you know, when a man gets lost, he can be driving around that same circle for probably two or three times, and he wouldn't stop and ask for directions. And a woman will be sitting there wondering, why can he just not stop and ask for directions? Well, the reason for that is that a man needs to feel competent. You know, it's not about just the big things. It's about the little tiny things. So if he feels that I can't even get us to a place without asking for help, that makes him feel incompetent. You know, it makes him feel useless. So maybe a woman needs to understand the little sensitivity of a man and appreciate his reason for doing that is because he wants to feel competent for you, you know, his wife, his spouse. And that's the reason. The next time he gets lost and the next time he doesn't ask for help, just understand that this is a sensitivity of his and appreciate what he's trying to do.
Indeed. Jazakallah khair to the sister that's sending in those marriage workshop pictures, but it's a bit too small. I'm really straining my eyes here to try and read what is coming out here, but I see other interactions coming on Facebook as well. Sister Ferial Amla saying, men are from Mars, women are from Venus, describes behavioral differences very nicely, but too detailed to describe here. Roles, men as protectors and women as nurturers. Boys are generally not always more technically skilled and girls verbally so, but intellectually and morally both as equals. Oh yes, and women have better developed intuition, so tend to be right more often. I think that is debatable, but sometimes for guys it's better to just keep quiet, right?
Okay. Yes, you know, very good interactions coming through from the listeners.
And I think we've got about a minute or so, Sumaya. Are we going to continue with this topic next week? There's so much to discuss in terms of men and women and the differences. So I think we should.
Yes, inshallah, we will continue next week as well.
Inshallah. So that brings us to the end of this edition of the Power Half Hour. It's been enlightening. Jazakallah khair, Sumaya, for, you know, teaching us highlighting the differences between men and women. And I just got to say, in my defense, I do ask for directions when I'm lost at the garage. I will stop and ask the best ways to ask one of the garage guys, you know, attendants, where you lost in that area. They tend to know the area where you are much better than you. And also, I just want to say that thank goodness for TomTom and Garmin, so that, you know, takes away that difficulty for men of not asking directions. You just have to key it in, and there you go.
No, absolutely. So that's wonderful. And you basically an exception to the rule, Ijaz.
I hope so. I don't think so. I think I should keep, I have to defend my fellow men and say that more and more men are, you know, swallowing their pride and asking for the directions when they don't use the garment and Tom Tom. One more message coming through from Sister Fazana Bismillah Bamji. She's saying, basically, women can do it all and still look good while doing everything in a pair of stilettos. That's another one coming through here. But, yeah, I think now we've run out of time, Sumaya. Jazakallah khair for everything for today. And we'll pick it up next week, inshallah.
Inshallah. Jazakallah again for having me.
Ameen. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
That was Life Coach Sumaya Kuvadia on the Power Half Hour. Talking about the differences between men and women. There's so much. I think we can do it for about a year and still not be done. But we'll pick it up next week, inshallah. So from the Power Half Hour, this is Ijaz Khan, my engineer Usama Besiuni. Jazakallah khair. Keep interacting with us. You know the details. And tweet us at EJAZ_K. Assalamu alaikum.